I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, which is our text for today. In a sense, it puts into a nutshell what we were reading in Ephesians, and also encapsulates what we were hearing from Pastor John Mason a week or two back. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." To keep a finger there, we'll pray and then we'll think together on what this means. Father God, we do indeed pray and ask that you would help us this and every day, but immediately now as we read your word. For if this is just some words, if this is just my thoughts, then what a waste of time. But if this is your word, and if God the Holy Spirit, you will come and work that miracle of grace whereby my words can be used as your words. And where one person can hear one thing and another can hear something different and both be blessed, oh our Father, then what joy and wonder it is that your word will build up your people. So bring us nearer to you, we pray. Help us to see again the sacrifice that you have provided. Give us again new thoughts of you and new hopes of heaven. Restore us and build us to life and power and godly thought, we pray. Amen. Ben, I'm going to need my PowerPoint, and if you can give it me back where I left it before, that would be really helpful. I know that's easier for you than me, so thank you very much indeed. Many of you who've been in the church at least longer than I have know Rodney Moss. A dear friend of the fellowship here, and someone who came alongside when times were tough, an elder of the church over in Felixstowe, Bethesda Baptist Church, and he came and he worked here. I think the arrangement was 50%, wasn't it, Andrew? Sunday on, Sunday off, he would come and minister and support and work alongside Andrew as an elder. And then when you called me alongside myself and gave me a real leg up into this role and this responsibility, which I'll be honest with you was something that had been identified as a vital need if ever I was going to make it. Now you may well decide I haven't made it, but that's beside the point. Rodney was there to help us, and I recall his memory because of what happened shortly after I arrived. If you remember, Rodney was diagnosed with an illness. And what was going on was that he had something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, or Guillain-Barré syndrome. And that is a very tragic thing, and it's very difficult to spot, but praise the Lord, his GP had actually seen a case previously and knew exactly what to do. And so when Rodney's immune system started attacking his nervous system, and he started to lose sensation in the ends of his fingers and then the ability to coordinate and walk, his GP was able to say, "I know what you've got. I know where you need to go." And the doctors there were forewarned. It was an amazing story of how Rodney walked into his GP's surgery, and his GP said to Pauline, "Can you take him to the hospital?" And she said, "Yeah, I'll drive him up there." And he said, "I'm going to phone the hospital now." And by the time he got to the hospital, he walked out of the car but couldn't get any further than the foyer because that's how fast he was deteriorating. And his motor function and so on was going. And he was there, and praise the Lord, he was blessed and recovered from that. Now, God in his grace and wisdom only spared him to serve with us a little longer. But that picture of someone so useful to God's people who is then stopped from serving because for a time he was unable to serve because one part of the body was attacking another part of the body is the challenge before us today as we consider the idea of being one body and of living at peace with one another. It's a terrible reminder of the problem of sin in the church and how when we start to get at each other rather than work with each other, God's people don't live out the life that he wants us to do. Now, it is the problem of sin in the church. That's where it comes from. We're still sinners, and from time to time we will cause grief to one another, perhaps even tragically attack one another. Instead of living in peaceful diversity that we should hope to achieve and that is God's plan and purpose for us. So as we consider being at peace with one another and living a life of peaceful diversity in the church, let's be reminded first of the problem. In chapter 12 and verse 16, can I invite you to look at that? And I hope it will come up here on the screen. If I use the PowerPoint appropriately, Paul explains the root of the problem in so many cases when the church isn't functioning properly. It is pride and conceit. That's really what is going on. In chapter 12 and verse 16, he says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Well, so there is our challenge. That's the problem that often rises in our hearts. And in chapter 14 and verse 13, again, please, just turn forward another page in Scripture and let's see what that says. "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way." And this verse explains what happens when we let pride have reign. And when we become conceited, we start to condemn one another. We make judgments of others when we should actually be making decisions ourselves. Now, this verse is often misunderstood, and it's easy to misunderstand it because it's quite difficult to translate. The original Greek word that is translated judgment there at the beginning, and then make up your mind in the second sentence, is actually the same word. And the context tells us whether it means to stand as a judge, literally to judge and condemn, or the second, to do something internally rather than externally, to judge and decide, and to make up your mind. So it's right to translate it differently. And we've got to get that right. We've got to stop standing in judgment over one another as if I was higher and mightier in the church, because that's not what the church is. The church is one of peaceful diversity. We are different but brought together in Christ to work together. And instead we should make up our minds not to cause trouble to one another. Well, if these are the problems, and if these verses warn us about what can damage our peaceful diversity, then how do we find a solution? Another parallel verse. Each of these verses I've shown you so far, and there'll be two or three more, they're parallel verses to Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. The theme is littered through the New Testament. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 13. And verse 11. And I think this is the most helpful one for our answers. It's one that really does give us a little order and process as we think this through. And 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Finally, brothers, farewell. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." It's a lovely verse. And when I was putting this sermon series together, if I'm honest, I wish I'd chosen it to preach from today. And that's really what I'm going to do. I finally got there. So this is where I want us to major this morning, because this one tells us how to live at peace. We've seen the problem. The peaceful diversity is the goal, but pride and conceit can get in the way. Well, here, by God's grace, is a lovely encouragement. This verse starts by talking about brothers and sisters. Isn't that wonderful? That's the first thing, and it is a most wonderful thing. The verse is addressed to Christians, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. In other words, when peaceful diversity is shattered in the church, repentance and faith, which is the beginning and how we came in, is the thing we need again. It's all about being brother and sister. But before we get to that, let me just check this morning. Are you a brother or a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we can't really go on and try and build peaceful diversity if we're not. If we're not at one in Jesus Christ, we'll struggle every step of the way. There will be a different tension. If he's not first in our lives, if your desire and my desire is not to serve him, to grow to be like him, if our hope is not that one day we will be with him, then we are going to be going separate ways. And we won't have peaceful diversity where we're together, but different. We'll just have diversity where we go our separate ways. Well, I wonder where you stand. I hope that as you read that, you feel and know and understand in great depth you are a brother or a sister. If you're not, please will you come and talk to me after the service, because that's the most important thing that could happen.